So that brings us to our adult message and also just a quick moment with God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we are thankful to be in this beautiful place. We're thankful for the weather this morning. It is somewhat warmer than it was last Sunday and we are certainly blessed by that. We ask for your blessings to shower upon us, both in reality in the coming days as well as spiritually this morning here together. Lord, let your word be heard by all and let the message that is presented resonate in the hearts and souls and the spirit of all those who are gathered here, our friends, your disciples, our church. All these things we ask in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, scripture comes from Proverbs 3. I do encourage you, I'm not going to read all of it, I do encourage you to read the entire chapter of 3. It talks explicitly about trusting in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to read all the way through 13, or excuse me, through 12, and stop at the beginning of 13. I'm in the New Living Translation, so if you're following along with me, let's go to the Lord and see what He has to say. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commandments in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness lead you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your hearts. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from the world's evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So your message this morning is entitled, Faith Points in One Direction. So again, I do welcome you on behalf of the church. Welcome back, one and all, to this worship together here this morning in the chapel in the woods. You know, it's good to see all the faces back when you are absent from us. We do miss you, and so I know it's vacation season and lots of things are happening in the world as well as within the families. So again, any time that we can see you here, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to see you. We are truly, as disciples of Christ, privileged to have the ability to even be here this morning to worship our Lord and Savior today. After reading Proverbs 3, 1 through 12, and that's only a short section of it, I ask you, what is your take on the wisdom and the words of Scripture this morning? I don't need you to answer it, but what I do call you to do is finish that chapter and then ask that same question of yourself and answer it sometime this week. What is your take? This morning I get the honor to tell you my take. And my take is singular, one word, simply privileged. We are beyond privileged to know, love, and be saved by Jesus Christ, without a shadow of a doubt. Proverbs 3 is all about trusting in the Lord. And Webster defines the word trust as the following. Listen to this. Assured reliance on the character ability, strength, and truth of someone or something. Listen to those qualifiers. Character, ability, strength, and truth. As Christians, the someone is a no-brainer for us. That someone is Jesus Christ. The something can teeter one way or the other, but that something that we need to talk about this morning is faith. Listen to those characteristics again. Character. Jesus Christ is all about character. Ability. No greater man ever walked on earth with no greater ability than Jesus Christ. Strength. Well, what do we say about His strength? Empowering. Almighty. And His truth. Make no mistake, if you leave here today and you leave with nothing else, you know that the Holy Word and Jesus Christ Himself is absolute truth. Friends, I want to call you back to verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 3. It says, in my terms, in my layman's terms, it says the following: God will direct us and crown our efforts with success if we put our trust in Him rather than to try and do it on our own. Lord, what a promise. If we simply trust in Him and not in ourselves, He will crown us in success. Individually, inside of our families, and in our church, He will crown us in glory and success. Putting God first is actually easy. But it is only easy if we, you and me, are willing to turn our lives and our personal will and our personal goals over to Him. This action requires immense humility. Humility that, quite frankly, we may not possess this very moment. But humility all the same. The promise we see this morning about trusting God is all over Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, everywhere you look, the same promise keeps circling back. May sound a little different, may be in a different context, but it's the same promise. And oh Lord, what a promise. What a glorified promise it is. Basically it says, if we lay down our pride, our conceited ways, and leave selfishness behind and turn to Christ with the best humility we have possible, that we know that exists within ourselves, we will be blessed as a result of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, you may disagree with this statement, but every day as a human being, we start something new, whether we look at it that way or not. Every day is a new day. Every day you have the opportunity to regroup, refresh, and have a new beginning. Every single day. However, whenever we do this, whether it's a new year perhaps, new project, new goal, a new week, or maybe a new day, when we do this, it typically means that we have to put the end to something. We have to set something that we're familiar with aside. If we don't, that opportunity fades quickly when we don't allow one to stop and the new to begin. You know, I've always struggled with the two different versions of the week, the definition of a week. Some say the new week begins on Monday and ends on Saturday, or excuse me, Sunday, and then some say it begins on Sunday and ends on Saturday. I only bring this up not because I have a formal opinion about it. It really matters not to me. But I bring this up to support my earlier statement. Every day is a new day. We already qualify how long a week is and how long a day is in time. And every day there's a sunrise, thus a new beginning. And every day there is a sunset, thus putting aside or leaving behind the past. Now here's what's interesting about that. The starts and stops in our circles of life are identified in modern day language in one word. It's a definition in modern day language that defines the practice of something. A new day, a new beginning, putting aside the old, dismissing it, whatever that means. But modern day language uses a one word definition. It's called change. Change ranks right up there in the top 10 words most people hate. Change is something many of us fear and most of us have an immediate response to when it comes our way because of the unknown. Given half the chance, if I told you we were going to change something today, you would be hesitant. Giving half the chance, you would dismiss it. Giving half the chance, you would run from it. Because it is different and it's unknown. This is because it's hard to let go of familiarity. It's hard to let go of a familiar past. Even one you're tired of, it's familiar to you. Even one you don't like very much, it's familiar to you. And you struggle with letting it go. This is hard to rationalize, but extremely true even for us who have immense trust and faith in God. Look at it from the perspective of a person that's faced with change. Change is coming. They can't change. They can't stop it. Change is coming. So it equates to kind of like two examples. Most of us are like example one. We like to safely navigate and stay in the present and try to work our way around that change and dismiss it. That's what we like to do. Because we don't like change. But then there are some you don't have any choice in. And so instead of being, and using the example of a tree, instead of being locked in around the tree trunk where you're safe, you find yourself out here on a limb and you can't even see the leaves. That's the change that comes in our faith. That's the change, the life-changing event in our faith in Jesus Christ and our hope in Him. That's where we are, out here. But all of us really like to be over here hugging the tree. We're safe. It's familiar to us. And once we get our arms wrapped around that, you can't break us away because nobody wants that change. It's windy out here on the end of this branch. And what's unique about the branch is the further you leave the trunk, the narrower the branch goes. Now, for boys that don't miss breakfast, lunch, and dinner like me, the branch gets smaller and I still stay the same size. Eventually, what's going to happen, you think? These are big trees, by the way. Eventually, what do you think may happen? I may fall. But really, will I? Most likely. But what does that tree example look like? It looks like our lives. That's where we live. We live in a world of immense change. Change that we cannot control. And we must get used to being on the limb and not hugging the trunk. My dad used to say all the time, believe only half of what you see and nothing of what you hear. Then he would finish that statement with, never be afraid, son, to trust your gut. For your gut is where your soul is. And that's where God resides. That's where the Spirit is. So I think that's really where that statement came from. Always trust your gut. But then he would finish with this. Thus, always trust your gut in the unknown, because your gut is where the known God you believe in resides. So if God's churning you, trust what He's telling you. Even though you're faced with the change you're afraid of, you don't want, you're running from, and it's unknown to you. Growing up here in this community, I was privileged to grow up in a family environment that loved unconditionally, whether we deserved it or not. And I will admit, many times I didn't deserve the love of God. But it not only came from our families in our nucleus, but it also came from the families of our friends. Yesterday, I had written this sermon 2 weeks ago, and yesterday I shared in a conversation about some buddies hanging out, riding four-wheelers and doing all this other stuff, and I thought, you know, this is going to resonate and come right full circle back, because this is the community that I remember, that I cherish because of the friendships. Those friendships still remain today, and those life stories still focus. But it not only happened inside of our nucleus, in our core, in our families, it happened in the friends and the families of our friends, and it also happened in our churches, in those families that exist in you today. Today, that is exactly why I believe that our generation, and even the children of our generation, and the grandchildren of our generation, will grow up in much a similar or the same way. We, even when we're in disagreement, we still love each other and we still nurture each other. In our family circles as well as our church, we learn that our teachings, God's Word, and the instructions from our family, like our children told us this morning in our vessel of life, where we put our faith in our parents and in our sisters and in our brothers and in our aunts and uncles, that Word never wavered. And we study it today, and that's God's Word. It never changes, and it brings consistency in our life. Today, as Christians, we study and celebrate God's Word. That's what we're here this morning to do. In the Word, we also learn a similar lesson. Anytime we read Scripture, we learn the lesson over and over and over again. God is the greatest of teachers. He knows we're hard-headed, thick-headed, and stubborn. And He knows that He has to continually remind us what He's trying to show us. God's Word never wavers, and thus it becomes a consistency in our life. It provides us continuity. Friends, trust that Scripture spoke about in Proverbs 3 this morning is built in consistency. And in our lives, the one thing that has never, ever wavered is God's love. Never once has it ever wavered. And His Word is the absolute truth. As it is written, not as you perceive it, but as you read it. Jeffrey Holland said this, and this quote speaks exactly to my point. We often look back to claim the embers from a glowing experience, but we never claim the ashes. Then we look ahead and remember that our faith is always pointed toward the future. Let me read this first part to that to you again. We often look back in our glowing experiences in our past, and we claim those embers that trigger our memory. But we too often never claim the ashes that remained. I'll come back to that in a second. So from this quote comes your message. And from the life and experience we know to be the life of Christ, whom we study weekly and celebrate today, we have our marching orders. Faith is believing and hoping that no matter how things have gone in the past, they can only get better and will get better. Faith is forward-looking. I told the Bible study group just in this very spot a couple weeks ago that an active faith, the faith that we share with each other in Bible study, the cohesiveness and the networking and the love that is shared in that group, that active faith has no rear view mirror. It only has a windshield. And if we are active in our faith, we are moving straight ahead. We're moving on. Looking back over your lifetimes, think about the great challenges you have faced together or individually. And through your faith and how courageous as a believer you were able to overcome those issues. We have done this time and time again as individuals. We've done it as a nation. We've done it as a church. We've done it as a society. Look, what I'm trying to say is being faithful doesn't mean we're absent of the bad times or the hard issues. In fact, no one has ever likely said this to you, but here's my way of thinking. Because of our struggles, we have faith. And through our struggles, the faith shines brightly. Most people don't see it that way. They're bogged down in the struggle. In layman's terms, your ringing endorsement as a disciple of Jesus Christ is your past. It's what allows you the ability to face the future, is because of your past. And so if you're a mother or a father here today, you're my example. When your first child is born, you are absolutely overwhelmed. Everybody's in and around you in the room and goo-goo-ah-ah over the baby, and you are lost. First baby, you're completely lost. You don't know whether to scratch your head or wind your watch. I mean, that's where you are. We've all been there as parents. But while facing those overwhelming emotions, you know you're going to be good parents. Now, how do you know that on day one? Well, it's simple. You know it because God has graced you with the love that you experienced the moment you witnessed your child's birth. It's the same way as we are received by Christ. We are examples of our faith every day. There are many other examples. Students facing curriculums and winning academic achievement. People facing illness and battling straight right through it and coming out on the other side perhaps even better than they started. Or if not, they have learned a lesson that they would never have been taught without that life struggle. And what an amazing view they see. What an amazing perspective they have from their side. I could go on and on about all the examples that life provides us through Proverbs 3 and the lessons we learn from God, but I'm not. What I'm simply going to tell you and close with is this. Faith requires your action. Faith requires your action, and actionable faith points only in one direction. It points to the future. It starts today, and it looks towards tomorrow. So every day is a new beginning. And that new beginning may seem challenging and, frankly, more difficult than anything you've ever faced in your life before. But however, I want to leave you with this thought. The fact that you have come this far in your life, wherever you are, reveals to all of us who surround you that you have succeeded. You're here in God's house. This morning, Scripture taught us this, so heed this lesson. Draw strength from the past, but do not get stuck in it. Look ahead to the future in faith and remember the seemingly small victories that you've had over your lifetime. Collect those, and when you put all those victories together, they have paved and built the foundation for a successful tomorrow. You will succeed because you are of faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you put Him first. So here's your takeaway. I try to leave you with one every week. So if we all can agree that Christ Jesus is the light of the world, if we all can agree that this morning, I share with you this image. Now, you're in the perfect place because when I decided to use this as your takeaway, I came here before I went to work one morning and I saw, minus the absence of you, I saw exactly what we all see today. So we're all agreeing that Christ Jesus is the light of the world. There are two facts that we need to speak about in light. One is this. Depending on what position you are in, look around you. Depending on what position you are in your life. So we're going to use this in a life's perspective. Depending on your position, you're either in the light or in the shadow. Now you will say, I'm either in the sun or I'm in the shade. But for the purpose of this takeaway, you're either in His light or you're in His shadow. Christ provides enough light for all of those who believe to find it, regardless of how dark you believe it to be. Now, unfortunately, I will tell you, there's also enough shadow for those that don't believe. So here it is. In the infinite words of my uncle, who coached us in baseball, Little League baseball, he would scream at us from the infield at the dugout. We would be all the way in the outfield, and he said, "Don't let the batter catch you flat-footed." We said, "What?" He said, "You heard me." So here's your takeaway. Don't let Jesus today, this very moment in your life, don't let Jesus catch you standing flat-footed in the ashes of yesterday. Make sure you're standing upright in His glory and His light of today. Make sure you're in His glory today. Tomorrow is a new day. Amen.